Okay, Judges 5. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers. I, to the Lord, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when thou didst go out from Seir, when thou didst march from the field of Edom, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, this Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers went by roundabout ways. The peasantry ceased, they ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother of Israel. New gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers among the people. Bless the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, who sit on rich carpets, and you who travel on the road, sing. At the sound of those who divide flocks among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous deeds of the Lord, the righteous deeds for his peasantry in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and take away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. From Ephraim, those whose root is in Amalek came down. Following you, Benjamin, with your peoples. From Machir, commanders came down. And from Zebulun, those who yield the staff of office. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping of the flocks? Among the divisions of Reuben, there was great searchings of heart. Gilead remained across the Jordan. And why did Dan stay in ships? Asher sat at the seashore and remained by its landings. Zebulun was a people who despised their lives even to death, and Naphtali also on the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan at Tanakh near the waters of Megiddo. They took no plunder in silver. The stars fought from heaven, and their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon. O my soul, march on with strength. Then the horse's hoofs beat from the dashing of his valiant steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Utterly curse its inhabitants, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the warriors. Most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out her hand for the tent peg, and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera, she smashed his head, and she shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay. Between her feet he bowed, he fell, where he bowed, there he fell dead. Out of the window she looked and lamented, the mother of Sisera through the lattice. Why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of his chariots tarry? Her wise princesses would answer her. Indeed, she repeats her words to herself. Are they not finding that they are not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work. A spoil of dyed work embroidered. Dyed work of double embroidery on the neck of the spoiler. Thus, let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Amen. Okay. We talked yesterday a little bit. Remember, Deborah, the only judge that's female, the only judge that's called a prophet, and the only judge that did not attain their judgeship through military conquest. And so like I shared yesterday, it would be great to hear the story of how she became a judge with all these different principles going on inside of her. So the battle, they beat Sisera. They defeat the Canaanites who were oppressing the Israelites for 20 years after they had fallen away. And really, this Song of Deborah really shares the story of Israel up to this point. And I'll explain a little bit. I will make a note that this particular song is considered probably the second most worthy or important song in the history of the Jewish people. The first would be the Song of Moses, after he sings, and that would become the primary anthem for the Israelite people. But second in line would be Deborah's song after the defeat of the Canaanite kings, particularly Jabin, which they conquer then. And so when you see this, the first thing that happens is that Deborah, now I know it says the Song of Deborah and Barak, but if you read carefully, this is Deborah's song. She is the author of this song. Barak, because he's the military leader, he is involved in this, but this is primarily Deborah's song. And so she basically relays the history that basically everything that happens in Israel, in fact, everything that happens in the world is actually by the hand of God. Again, one of the major themes in the book of Judges is the high sovereignty of God, that God is involved in every part, every process of the world, and in particular, his chosen people, which would be the Israelites. And so, you know, the mountains quaked at his presence. The Lord went out, he marched from the field. Everything that happens in this land is a result of the working and doing of God. God moved from point A to point B, and so thunder happened, or there was some resolve in the fields, or something to that effect. And so we can see how he worked. The earthquake, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. Which, you know, obviously that means rain. And so, you know, the whole idea that Deborah is saying that everything that pertains to the happenings in Israel, God is actively involved in the process. And so then we get to the history. So it starts at verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted. The travelers went by roundabout. So Shamgar, we find out now, because there's very little written about his judgeship. Remember Ehud, there's 80 years, and then there's Shamgar, and then Deborah comes on the scene. And seemingly, because not much is about Shamgar, obviously during his judgeship, there was a lot of calamity. So the idea that the highways were deserted, travelers went by roundabout ways, which meant that traveling meant that the roads, there was turmoil. Whenever there's roads, and so I'll give you one of the clues. So she says here, in verse 11, or I should say, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit on rich carpets, and you travel on the road, sing at the sound of those who divide flocks among the watering places, where they shall recount the righteous deeds of the Lord. Now, the reason why she's writing this way, and you have to kind of understand Jewish history in this regard. During times of war, the wells were a very dangerous place. The roads were a very dangerous place. And so not many people travel during those times. It would be kind of similar to today. You know, a couple, was it last year or a couple, I think it was last year, we planned to go to Israel as a trip. We do this every few years. But that particular year, we chose not to go because there was so much violence and turmoil was happening. People were getting killed at the Western Wall, you know, terrorists and all these kinds of things. And interesting enough, you know, when I canceled the trip, I just really, more than anything, I just had a check in my spirit. I just felt like there's something off with this trip. And so I canceled it. Obviously, some people got upset with me because they blocked out their vacation time and everything. And so I understood where they're coming from. But interesting enough, a week after, the week that we're supposed to be there, violence erupted. And so then people came back and said, oh, thanks, Peace Sam. You know, you heard from the Lord. So I mean, it was nice. But you know, the whole idea that there are certain places that we don't go to because of violence. We don't go to certain places because we avoid certain roads because there will be trouble in that place. And that was indicative of wartime. And so people didn't travel. The whole idea is the travelers went roundabout. In other words, they walked around in circles. The word there, roundabout, actually, it's not round, is twisted. And so that's the proper Hebrew word. And so their journey was twisted. They like basically, you know, going from point A to point B is a straight line. Because of war, they went all around to get to a certain place. That's what Israel's condition was. And so Israel was in a tough place. Travel was almost unheard of, which also meant trade didn't happen. So people's livelihoods were affected. All these things were happening until verse 7, the peasantry ceased, they ceased in Israel. In other words, all the fun and everything, until I, Deborah, arose. Again, now, this is not like, people who had read this in that time did not think that Deborah was puffing up herself. It goes back to the idea that in times of calamity, which is one another major theme of Judges, God raised up a leader. God raised up a judge, and it was, remember, usually a nobody. So God raised up, and it happens to be a woman in this culture, a nobody, raises up Deborah, and she arose, and she until gets the title, until I arose, a mother in Israel. And like I said yesterday, that's why that's one of her titles. She is considered the mother of Israel in this regard. Now, why did this happen? She says it in verse 8. New gods were chosen. Then war was in the gates. What caused all this calamity to happen to the Israelites? It's idolatry. People, so during Shamgar, very unrest. So people turned away from God and they started chasing after new gods. And when that happened, war came to the gates of Israel. What? So think about this. Now let's kind of put on our hermeneutic cap and let's bring this, interpret this to where we're at today. Just think about what are most of the calamities, or actually if we take the Judges narrative, what's the reason for all of the calamities in our life? What would it be? We have turned away from God. And we've chased after other gods. Now, we are a sophisticated culture. We're not going to chase after the Canaanite gods. We're not going to worship some pole. You know, so it was a male fertility in the Asherah. We're not going to do those kinds of things. But what are we going to do? We're going to turn our hearts away, and we're going to be fixated on wealth. We're going to be fixated on fame. You know, our own pride. We're going to replace God with relationships. We're going to place God with our work. You know, and this is the whole idea. These are the very things that God had given to us for us to enjoy. He's blessed us with these things. He's blessed us with wealth. He's blessed us with work. He's blessed us. These are things that come from the hand of the Lord. But what happens is idolatry sets in the sense that we no longer honor God for those things, but those things that God has given to us has become God in itself. And so that becomes the reason for every calamity. Why is war at your gate? Because you went after new gods. You forsook the God, your creator. And it's not just some kind of compare and contrast game. They forsook the God of their fathers. They forsook the God that brought them out of Egypt, out of captivity. And so the God that was with them, the God that fought for them, they turned their back on that God. So it's not just some impersonal being that really had nothing to do with the history of Israel. He was everything about Israel. And they turned their back on that God and chased after other gods. And he says, because you did that, because you fell away from the Lord, war is now at your gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. And now they came into apathy. They no longer fought for their families. They no longer fought for their freedom. But that's what sin does. Sin makes us apathetic. Sin puts us into sleep. Not rest. God gives us rest. But sin brings us into a slumber, a restless slumber in that regard. And that's precisely what happens. And then he says, you know, she continues the song. And then what happens is that the volunteers rised up. The army of God came and the volunteers among the people begin to rise up. And then verse 10, you who ride on the white donkeys were basically a sign of the extreme wealthy. So to have livestock was some wealth, but to have a pure white donkey, I know it sounds weird, you know, in our day and age, but in this day and age, it meant extreme wealth, that you would actually possess a pure donkey in that regard. You who sit on rich carpets, so you can see that the theme is wealth. And you who travel on the road, she says, sing. And at the sound of those who divide flocks, now watering places, all you can hear the sound are the sheep and the shepherd dividing the flocks for them to get in line. Where before, the sound that you heard at the watering well was war. You heard distress and dissension and anger and fighting. And now all you hear the sound of the animals. And so she's basically saying, look, God did all these things for you. Before, you had to travel around in circles. You that were rich would never travel on these roads because you'd get robbed. I mean, your wealth would be taken away from you. But now you sit on rich carpets. You travel these roads. You should sing. In other words, you should praise the Lord that he's doing this. Now, instead of the sound of war at the watering hole, you have the sound of bleeding sheep and goats. In other words, the sound of prosperity, the sound of peace. And so what should we do? Sing to the Lord. It's this admonition that when things are going well, what should we do? We should worship the Lord our God. We should give thanks to him. We should honor him. When blessing is flowing, when there's peace all around us, we should give God homage and sing praise to the Lord. And so that's history. Now verse 12, we get to the battle scene. So Deborah in this song, she's relaying that God's at work. He's always at, this is kind of like EG, God's always at work around us. So he's doing his thing. People sin, they fall short of the glory of God, and as a result, calamity happens. We can't travel on the road, you know, our wells, and you know, everything's messed up. But then God raises up a deliverer, the particular Deborah. She comes into action, volunteers. The people of Israel rise up, they fight, and now there's peace. So you should worship the Lord. Okay, so history. Then at 12, she recounts the battle that happens. And she says, awake, awake, Deborah, awake and sing a song. Arise, Barak, and take away your captives, O son of Abinoam. And so this is relaying to the victory. So victory is won. And so now it's the victory procession where, you know, most cultures, especially in the ancient Near East, and also even in, I wouldn't necessarily say modern cultures per se, they do it in a different way, but there was always a procession of the captives. In other words, the spoil and the plunder of their enemies, and they would march through. It's like in France, you know, in Paris, you know, the Champs-Élysées was really a tribute to, and they would, for years, march their captives, you know, through the Champs, and people would wave, and it would be a procession of their victory. And a lot of cultures have these things. And so he says, Barak, you do this, you march, and thus show the greatness of God in this regard. And then she begins to give thanks to all the people that rose up. Now, some people didn't rise up. You know, if you read here, you know, why is Dan staying in the ships? Why did Gilead remain across the Jordan? You know, Asher sat at the seashore. So not all the sons of Israel came to this battle. And so they're being praised on one hand. In other words, you join the fight and you are praised. On the other hand, you sat on the sidelines and you're being reprimanded in this regard. Man, you guys stayed. You guys didn't fight. Blessed be, you know, Benjamin and Zebulun who came, and so on and so forth. And so that's kind of the idea. 19, notice the words that she uses for these soldiers. She says the kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan. So it seems that Sisera, when he was fighting, because she's relaying this battle, that Sisera also had help from other Canaanite kings. And so it wasn't just Jabin and Sisera, but seemingly there were other people that were there that came to the aid of the Canaanites, and the Israelites just totally destroyed them. So, you know, they were at Tanakh near the waters of Megiddo. They took no plunder and silver. The stars fought from heaven. This is relaying the idea that one of the reasons for this great victory, especially amongst the chariots, was a what they would call a quill, or which was a storm. A wind that blew in and actually destroyed most of the people before even the Israelites got there. And so, again, it's the hand of God. And you gotta, I mean, it's such such beautiful language. The stars fought from heaven, and from their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on with strength. And so it's this idea that, you know, the stars fought. In other words, a storm. God caused a storm to come upon the Canaanites and destroy them, basically. And then the winds came along as well and also did their work, and which was kind of indicative, particularly we read later on, of a lot of David's victories, was God brought confusion to the camp, and primarily through a storm. And all these kind of cool things happened. I just kind of really like Deborah's use of words to really relay this. And so all these things happen. And then, okay, I'm running out of time, so I'll touch on this really quickly. I want to tell you, verse 24 down a bit until 27 is a little troubling passage. And I'm still honestly trying to wrap my head around this. Like I shared with you yesterday, Jael, she actually did a really bad thing. She broke her tradition. She murdered Sisera. But yet, in this context, she's being praised. And so, you know, again, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I know that for the benefit of Israel, yeah, it's great. But for the benefit of society and human nature and these kinds of things, she didn't do a very good thing. And so my trepidation in my heart is that people can look at this passage and kind of, you know, the ends justify the means kind of thing. You guys understand what I'm saying? And that you could very easily fall into that thing. Well, she committed murder, but, you know, she's praised for it. So maybe it's okay to kill. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so you just have to spend some time and wrestle with God. And it's good that these passages exist for us to sit down and wrestle with God about certain things. And this is definitely one of them. And then Deborah finishes off with a very interesting anecdote. And she talks about Sisera's mom. And so, it's not like mother to mother. You know, like one mom to another mom. Oh, you lost your son. I feel for you. I'm sorry. You know, Deborah's like, you lost your son, tough on you. You know, it's like, you know, your son was a bad man. And you should pay the penalty for your son's deeds. That's basically the language that she's using here, which seems kind of out of place. But it goes into this idea of evil and sin, that it's has spilling consequences all over the place. And the idea, and the way that Deborah is typifying the mom, She's not the mom that's, and this is how she would personify evil. She's not the mom that's, oh, is my son coming back? Is my son safe? No, what she's relaying is, oh, my son's not coming back? Where's all my stuff? Like, where's all the good things that I get because of war? You know, all the cloth and all the gold and all the resources that we win in this fight. So you could see how Deborah is personifying the mother in this way. It's not like, oh, it's my son. Is he okay? Is he coming home safely? No, it's like, oh, where's my son? And then where's my stuff? So to basically relay that she also plays a part in his evil in that regard. And then the song finishes, okay? All right, so let's close our eyes. Now you know why this is the second most important song to the Israelite people. It has tremendous richness and meaning there. But let's go with a few takeaways. One in particular. Sin is the enemy of our souls. When sin enters into our life, it brings all kinds of calamity. When sin comes in, think of it this way. Sin, we'll use Deborah's imagery. We let sin in through the gates, and right behind sin will be war. Sin, we let sin enter into our lives. trailing right behind sin is war and calamity. For the wages of sin is death. We forget about that. Think of all the troubles that we have endured in our lives. Some are not your fault, but they're a consequence of someone else's sin. Sin is death. And so, you want to live a bountiful, blessed life? Keep sin away from our door. Don't let it become a foothold into our lives. Deborah is saying, chasing after other gods, the idolatry, sin is a result of all the calamity that Israel has been facing. And so as we look upon our own hearts and we interpret that for today and ourselves, keep sin away from our door. Keep it at bay. Whatever you need to do, you keep it at bay. Because once it enters in, death and war enter in as well.
Trembles at his voice.
Let's pray. If you're struggling with something today, if there's some temptations that are coming your way, that, you know, it could be anger or pride or lust, it could be a love of prominence or a love of money, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Keep sin at bay. Writer of Hebrews tells us that we have not shed blood in our fight against sin. And so there seems to be a pathway that we fight against our sin. I encourage you, if there is a struggle going on in your life right now, ask Holy Spirit to help you. Ask Jesus to come and just take that away from our lives, that we don't invite war and calamity into our situations. Well, let's just cover ourselves. If you know or have a brother or sister that's maybe backsliding right now, really struggling, just pray for them. Just lift them up. Ask that the God of all power and love and mercy would come and surround that person and protect that person. Let's pray. Let's just lift up ourselves or people to the Lord right now. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our brothers and sisters and their family members who are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing in their lives. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to come and really bring that word of encouragement and just His touch over them. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our community that's ill, but also needs to have a relation with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's come over our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Singapore today. Let's pray for our church there. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and the leaders as they continue to grow. I know they're looking for a permanent meeting place right now, and so there's a few opportunities that are before them. Let's pray that they would just be filled with God's wisdom to lead them to the right place. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Pray for SP Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Selamat and his family, the ministry. Pray for the workers. Also pray for the upcoming trip to Kupang that's happening over the summer. Let's ask for God's warriors, like Deborah said, to rise up and go and serve in this country. Let's lift up. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. So let's pray for Agape, HOMI, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for the volunteers and the leaders, Tim and Janella and other core leaders. I know they just came back from a retreat, and pray that they would be refocused and refreshed. Let's pray that God would raise up more people to go and to minister His love all over Hong Kong. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Alpha. Their season's wrapping up pretty soon. They had an awesome retreat last week. I think 8 people gave their life to the Lord, as well as many other dedications. And so let's praise God for what He's doing. Let's continue to pray for continued salvations for the other guests that are there. Pray for the remaining few weeks and God's presence, particularly on the 30th when they have a healing session. It'll be here in the sanctuary, and so let's just cover that time and ask for God's blessing. Let's pray. Let's pray for some of the activities going on tonight, and let's pray for the college ministry, SPU, pray for the intercessory prayer team, and also the Experiencing God class. Let's ask Holy Spirit to lead our prayer teams, our college group, and our discipleship class, that people would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And let's pray. Let's pray for a house church meeting tonight, McCain House Church in McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide and bless our leaders and our hosts, and that people would come and really be able to connect with Father, connect with each other, and really receive something from the Lord tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. God, thank you for Deborah. Thank you for her song. The way that she relays the goings of the earth, God, and your interaction in it, God. Lord, you are intimately involved in our lives, God, and in the life of this world. Lord, help us, God, to keep sin, God, at the door, Lord. In fact, as far away from the door as possible. We know that when sin comes in, death also comes in, and war. And so I pray that you'd help us, God. Lord, we see that even through the world around us, Lord, every single war is a result of someone's sin. Some people, God, that say that they're better than other people, God, some that are prideful, some that are angry. Lord, every single war that's ever happened, God, was always a result of sin. Help us to learn, God, from history in that way. And Lord, help us, God, to be pure, Lord, to be obedient, God, to just run hard after you. Focus on you, Lord. And take away all the idols of our lives, God. We thank you, Lord. Help us to please you, God, in all aspects. We bless you, Lord. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.